If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
In this special episode of Wobble, we are recording in association with the lovely people at Boots. This episode was recorded at Boots Feel Good Sessions, where we're talking all things body confidence with the most insane guest, Megan Jane Crabb, aka Body Posy Panda. It's one of those interviews, and I don't know about you, Sarah, but I just feel like she hammers in this message.
Every single thing she says is gold.
It's gold. Yeah. And like, I was listening to it on a walk and I had to pull in, sit down on a bench, yeah, and just zone out. I was like, I need to just connect with Megan right now.
Thank you so much to Boots UK for having us. Yes. And here is Megan. Megan, welcome to Wobble!
Yes, welcome!
I feel so enthusiastic.
Oh, good. Good. That'll dwindle. Try not to worry about that. Give it a couple of minutes, Megan.
Okay.
Settle right down.
5 minutes with us and that'll be long gone.
We must start off by saying a huge thank you to Boots, the gorgeous, lovely people, yes, at Boots, for creating this and letting this happen and showing us to each other, bringing us together.
Yes.
We must thank them for that, because they're doing the most amazing stuff. We are both huge fans of your work, Megan. I mean, and we are so excited to have you.
Thank you.
An absolute honour to have you on Wobble. One of the reasons that we're here is that Boots have done this amazing survey.
Yes, and we're going to pick through these within the episode. One thing that we can point out about this episode is that it is being filmed.
Yes.
So if you're listening to Wobble and you're like, oh, I wish I could see what Megan looks like, you can. You can see her and you can see this amazing sequin jacket, yep, which won't be on you when you leave.
Yes.
I'll be having that.
Are we going to fight?
Megan,
he has rugby
tackled people before to get jackets off them. But look, let's go in, because what Boots have tried to do is get to grips with why we feel the way that we feel, like really get into what's going on. Yep. And I mean, this is pretty awful. Only 10% of the nation say that they are fully confident in themselves, 10%. And this is worse. Less than 2% of the nation are happy with their body. Now, I would have said, I'm not happy with my body. You know, I've always kind of, body confidence and body image has always sort of been my thing. 2%, I was still shocked that it is so low. Are you shocked, Megan?
I'm not really, because being in the body positive community online, I see and hear things every day. You know, my DMs are chock full of people saying how much they hate these various parts of their body. So no, unfortunately, I was not surprised. I wish I was.
Yeah. I think there's something quite comforting if somebody's listening to this and they do hate their body, that because that statistic is 2%, it means that actually we're all together on this journey, and what you potentially are feeling about your appearance is not necessarily different from what somebody else is feeling. So it's important to open up the conversation about, yeah, how you're feeling about your body, because chances are somebody else will be feeling the same.
And it is easy to think that you're the only one, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, to be honest, as a culture, the way that body image issues are framed, it's very much filled with self-blame and this kind of message of, well, you hate your body because you're not trying hard enough, or you don't have enough willpower to change it, and that's why you hate your body. It's very kind of individualized, it's your fault.
Yes.
And I feel that that is actually a very intentional method of high diet culture to make us feel like it's on us to change it, and that makes a lot of money.
Oh, Megan, I feel seen. Yeah. I feel seen, Megan. But that's true, because we do. The first response is, well, I've got to change.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, I'm not strong enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm just not in, or I'm not worth it. I think our self-worth gets caught up in that a lot, like I'm not worth making those changes, whatever we think we need to do, mm-hmm, to change in a big way. It'd be good to just start off. What does body confidence, what does it mean to you, Megan?
Body confidence. I always say to people, I would absolutely love if you woke up every day, look in the mirror and feel like Beyonce. That's incredible. I would love that. But it's more important to me that you know that you're more than your body. And actually, you know that how you look is the least interesting thing about you. You are so much more, always have been, always will be. So that's what it is about to me.
Have you always been body confident?
Oh, Lord, no. I started hating my body when I was 5 years old, so really, really young. I was dieting seriously by the time I was 10, and I struggled with eating disorders throughout my teenage years, so I had anorexia when I was 14 as well. And it's not until I found body positivity at 21 that I started to unpack all of my body image issues and learn about why I had hated my body in the first place, and it's been a real journey. That's another thing as well. With social media, sometimes you can get this impression that it's click. I've discovered the secret. I now love everything about myself. It is not. It is such a process, and it's up and down and all over the place. There's no one fixed, right, I've got it. Because we live in a culture that is always going to tell you that you're not good enough. So some days you're still going to slip. So it's been a real long journey.
I think that's a really interesting point. People really think that body confidence and body positivity just happens overnight. And it's something that you're supposed to feel because, oh, that's what the images that I'm seeing. But actually, it is a journey constantly through life.
Yeah. So that moment that you had at 21, Megan, what was there a particular thing that happened to you that you were like, the light went on?
There were a few things. So it was summer and I had just been doing my regular crash diet, ridiculous workout regime, and I had hit the goal weight, this is the weight that everything's going to be freaking perfect and amazing. That so I had been chasing. Yes, we all have it. And I hit it and I stood on the scales and I looked in the mirror and I was like, why do I still hate myself? Like, why can I still point out 10 things that I want to change here? This doesn't make any sense. And maybe I can't do this for the rest of my life. Maybe this isn't sustainable. Do I really want to be 80 years old one day and still counting my calories and hating my body? God, no, I do not. There has to be another way. And that kind of culminated in finding the body positive movement online. And for the first time in my life, seeing all these people of all different shapes and sizes saying, you don't have to hate yourself. There is another option. You don't have to spend your entire life trying to change your body. And that just opened everything up.
Yeah. And from that moment, because you have that moment, which I think we've all had, haven't we, where we go, oh my gosh, it doesn't have to be like this.
Yes,
yes, there's an alternative. But as you both have just said, it's a huge journey to then go on it, to then, because that's a big ship to turn around,
you know,
isn't it? When you've hated and you've, like you've said, you've been fixated on that goal weight. I've got to get to that because then my life will be perfect and I'll be fixed. Mm-hmm. So how does that start to move? Do you know what I mean?
How do you start moving the ship?
Yeah, yes.
Also, I think it's not only difficult, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like straight up, I was so, so scared of leaving behind everything that I had ever known about my body and beauty and weight and worth. I was like, it would be easier to just hold on to this. If I shift, then everything shifts. And I think a lot of people are scared to take that jump, and I completely understand that. But for me, it really got down to, I have to deserve better than this. I think that is really the first thing that I want people to realize, is that absolutely all of us deserve better than spending our lives hungry and hating our bodies. None of us deserve to be taught this in the first place. And make no mistake, we are taught it. None of us are born hating our bodies. This is conditioned into us by the culture that we live in. And we all deserve better. Our lives are about more than fitting into a pair of jeans or how we look in a picture. You always deserve better, so go get it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about pictures, because pictures and summer, it scares a lot of people. And I know my audience with body positivity, a question that I get asked, and I'm sure you do too, Megan, is, well, I hate myself in photos when I'm up against my friends. Yeah. And when it comes to being out and in the summer, 70% of people have avoided taking a dip in the pool or going to the beach because they felt too self-conscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think this is also something that maybe people don't fully realize, is that when you have deep body image issues, it's not just that you don't really like the way that you look. It's that you genuinely don't think you're worthy of being seen and being in the world and living your life. And it can be so debilitating. You know, I spent summer after summer kind of locking myself indoors until I hit the goal weight, and then I would wear the bikini, and then I would go on holiday, and then I would talk to that person that I liked, because there's no way I could do it in the body that I had.
Yes.
So, and this is still happening for so many people. I think for me, the thing that I try to hold on to and the thing that I try to tell people is that, let's say you are going on holiday and you're scared to be on the beach. When you are there, you know that you're not actually just an object for other people to pass judgment on. You're not an ornament. You're not a piece of art hanging up in a museum. You are a living, breathing being. You are whole. You deserve to be there, and you are there for you. You know, you're there to make memories. You're there to experience things. You're not actually there to be aesthetically pleasing to other people.
Yeah. It's funny when you put it like that, because nobody really cares at the same time, do they? You know, like, genuinely, like, it's such a big deal. And I know there'll be people listening to this going, the idea of being in a swimsuit or being on a beach is just too much. Mm-hmm. And part of that is we do think everyone's looking at us.
Yes.
Don't we? We think it's all eyes on us. And it reminds me of, we were talking about this earlier. There was an episode of Wobble that we did with Deacon and Blue, with Ella, who's an amazing outdoor swimmer. They've sort of done their own research. And a lot of new mums, particularly, and dads, are not taking their kids to learn how to swim. Mm. Because the thought of getting in a swimsuit, especially if you are a woman who's had a baby, mm-hmm. is just too horrifying. So that's a life skill that your child isn't learning to swim because of the way that you feel about your body. It does affect every area of your life, doesn't it? It affects how you enjoy a holiday. It affects how you know, whether or not your kids learn to swim. That's how, and I think, like you said, Megan, it's easy to just think, oh, it's just about, well, I hate my tummy. Mm. So that's what it's about. But it's not. It's so much more fundamental than that, isn't it?
It is, and it's even down to young people in schools. The amount of lessons that I was just glazed over thinking about what I was going to eat for lunch or how many crunches I had to do when I got home from school was ridiculous. You know, all these things that you could be learning and experiencing and exploring, but instead your mind is so taken up by how you look and how you're going to change how you look.
It is so much energy, isn't it? And we've all sort of been through just how much energy hating your body takes. Yeah. I mean, that must have been a big moment for you as well, actually.
Definitely.
When you feel like you get that headspace back.
For me, it felt like I could breathe again. And it's amazing, like, the release that you get where you go, oh, I'm not actually defined by my body. And what defines me is everything that I've achieved. Mm-hmm. And it's like a switch does suddenly go and it starts tipping. And it's just repetition of those nice affirmations to yourself and remembering that you're not defined by your body. But I still have wobbles. And for me, pool parties and events at summer, even now, even though I post pictures of myself topless online in swimwear, sometimes the thought of going to a pool party is scary because of pictures. And 80% of people in the UK admit to feeling self-conscious in front of the camera, especially in the summer.
Yeah, 80%.
80%. Megan, what advice would you give to a listener who perhaps has pool parties coming or has that holiday or has that event where they're going away with the friends or the family and they know that there's going to be pictures and they're feeling very self-conscious about it?
I think practically getting used to seeing yourself in a photo is a skill, and perhaps this is something that you can practice at home by yourself in your bedroom. You don't even have to post it. You can maybe just get used to seeing your body at certain angles. And I think the thing is, a picture from your holiday is not supposed to look like the cover of Vogue. Truly, it is supposed to capture a memory. It is supposed to be something that you can go back to and think of the feeling that you felt that day. And when you get those pictures back, we all have been trained to have that tendency to zoom in on whatever part we don't like, whatever part we see as a quote unquote flaw.
Yeah.
The trick is training your brain to zoom out and remember the whole moment. Remember what you were seeing, what you were feeling, what could you smell? Really kind of try and be present in what that picture is about. Zoom out. It's not about whatever body part you don't like. It was never about that. And you deserve to have something to hold onto the actual memory of the day.
Yeah.
And the zoom in is such a thing. Mm-hmm. I think that so many times I take pictures of friends or families and instantly, as soon as they look at the phone, I'm like, they're going to zoom in. And they just look and you can see in their brain, they're picking through everything that's wrong with the picture.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is about the actual moment and remembering. Like, I don't think people, when it was just a push and click and development film, would have been like, you need to develop that immediately so I can pick all my faults. Like, I think they will have just got those pictures back and be like, oh, what a lovely day we had.
Yes. And I love what you said, Megan, about practicing at home, because I think the more we see, if you're somebody who avoids pictures at all costs and never wants a picture of themselves, and then you see one that you perceive bad picture, it's going to be really upsetting. If you've got 10 pictures just on your phone for nobody else's business but yours, where you are happy, that's going to there's going to be an offset there, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't even have to be pictures of you. I think this is where it is. It sounds so simple, but it is still so important that you are seeing all kinds of bodies and all kinds of people on your social media, because the more different body types you see, the more you recognize that your body is just slotting right in into a spectrum of a million different ways that bodies can be, and that bodies are wonderful and glorious and deserve to be celebrated.
You control the scroll.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about
hello.
That. I literally just thought of it and I was like, taking that, running with that.
Yes. You can have that, Megan. Have that.
I'll give to you.
Thanks, hon. I'm going to trademark that.
We should talk about social media, because we've talked a lot about it on Wobble and we talked a lot about comparison. Mm. Even with all your sort of knowledge, Megan, do you still have those moments of comparison or being triggered on social media, or how do you avoid it?
I don't so much with body image anymore. I very much still do with achievements, the glamorous and exciting things that other people have been doing. I have a real thing at the moment with essentially going to an event, and I'm there. I know what's going on at the event. Maybe it's a nice enough time, but it's not freaking paradise, you know what I mean? And then I get home and I see what the other people are posting from it, and they are making it look like the most incredible life-altering experience ever. And even I can be guilty of doing that. It's very hard not to kind of play up on social media where we're going and how exciting it all is and what we're achieving, and that can still get to me. But you know what? There's no shame in a bit of a mute button when you need it.
Yes.
Oh God, that mute button. But at an event, if I get home and I see somebody's posted loads of things, I just think, well, you've spent the whole event posting, capturing content, probably standing on a table to get that shot. And actually, I enjoyed the event. True. And actually, for me, I'm happier that I did that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So just remember, Megan, you weren't standing on the table.
We talked, I mean, briefly, just before we sort of came and sat down, we did talk about social media. Mm. And we talked about how you deal with negative comments and things like that. And I loved what you said about it, because you get a lot, don't you? You've had a lot of crap.
Over the years, yes.
Yeah. What is it? Where does it come from?
I would say that the majority of my blocked list is essentially young right-wing men who just hate that a woman can be confident in herself and are going to body shame and attack viciously. Also, label anything as feminist, they're coming for you. Let alone if you're like happy in your body and a feminist, they hate that. So yeah, my block list is pretty full of that. It's pretty full of that. But then you get to a certain point and it's coming from everywhere. It's coming from all angles.
Just diving into your teenagers, did you get bullied through your teenagers? Is this something that you've been with all your life, or is this a new thing coming in of people having opinions?
I'm not sure anyone gets through the teenage years completely unscathed, to be honest. I think I was all right. It was more so in my kind of primary school ages when my body just looked a bit different to everyone else's. I was just a bit chubbier. I was one of the only brown people in my class as well, and I instantly realized that I was a bit different, and other people realized I was a bit different for that as well. And coming into this online space, it's interesting, because we were talking about you have to develop a thick skin. On the one hand, it's a shame that you have to. No one should have to develop a thick enough skin to handle constant harassment. It's ridiculous. But you really, really do. And I think for me, it didn't take me very long to realize that generally the people who are attacking me are not people whose opinions I wish to put value in. These are not people who I wish to give the power to define me. And actually, the only person who gets to tell me who I am is me.
Yes.
Yes, I was glad to say. Yes. Down for
that. That was profound, wasn't it? It's like a TED talk. It was
thanks for coming to my TED talk.
Because you mentioned that you've put this clever filter on your posts, because I think, like you said, Pete, there's a lot of pressure that we're meant to be able to deal with it. Negative comments, however they come, you know, whether they're somebody commenting on your stuff on Instagram, whether it's stuff that people have to put up with at work, whatever it is and however it looks, we're sort of told, well, you've got to be strong enough. You've got to be strong enough to take it, and you've got to be strong enough to get over it. And not take it personally. And actually, there's something really empowering in going, no, I just don't want to have to see it. I just don't want to have to engage with it. And it's that opting out, isn't it? For not sort of fully getting involved with it.
Yes. And I think it is unrealistic to expect human beings to deal with constant harassment. Actually, there was I don't know if you know Callie Thorpe. Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful plus size model. Anyone listening doesn't know her, check her out. And she did a campaign a couple of years ago. So she was featured in Vogue as a plus size woman and was one of the first. And the harassment and bullying that she got from that was obscene. She got death threats. She had to go to the police about it. It was just nonstop. I think they found out where she lived. Like, it was just horrible. And she basically stood up and said, you know what? I don't want to have to grow thick skin for this.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to brush it off. And she started a hashtag that was humans, not trolls. Like, I'm not going to call these people trolls because it reduces their accountability. These are human beings who are doing this to another human being. And I refuse to kind of brush it off or take it on the chin. And I think that's, there is such power in staying soft, because these things and existing online can make you hard very quickly, can really make you quite cold, because you have to build these defensives to protect yourself. So staying soft and staying human is a really incredible skill.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lovely thing that our friend Lucy Sheridan says, if you feel it, it's real.
Mm.
And people think that just because they're reacting to a situation, it doesn't mean that they're in the wrong for feeling something. And I think it's such a strong take home, because if I feel that, if I'm upset by that, then that's okay. Yeah. It's real, like I'm allowed to feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just to take it back to body confidence, 80% of the nation worrying about their stomach followed closely by their thighs and their face. I mean, that
this is me. It's me.
Such a big statistic.
Yeah. But it's always been my tummy. It's always, like, ever since I can remember, ever since, like, you know, you said you were little. I can remember being little. I can always, and I can remember specifically, and I've talked about this before on Wobble, I was 19 and I was in the gym and Rihanna was, like, on MTV. And I remember thinking, right, that's the goal. Like, not appreciating at all what I looked like or my current situation. I was like, no, my stomach has got to look like Rihanna's. That's the goal. And what, I mean, where do we start? If you've got a piece of your body, if somebody's listening, or me, Megan, hi, and we've spent so long, like my whole life, I can't imagine, I can't even remember a time where I was happy, to be honest, with my tummy. How do we start changing that relationship? Because this has been, God, this has been at least 25 years. I'm 35 now, and this has been at least that long of hating it.
I hear you. I fully hear you. It was always my stomach for me as well. No matter what way I was at, that was always the part. It could never be flat enough. And I spent the majority of my adolescence really thinking, if I could have a flat stomach, everything would be perfect.
Yes.
My real life will begin. I'll be loved and appreciated and successful and fabulous. And I think that's a thing that clearly a lot of people also relate to. And I now freaking love my belly rolls. There's a picture of me upstairs wearing a sequin crop top and pants, and I love it. I love the softness. I love the textures. It rolls like the ocean, and I think that's incredible. And the way that I got there is, first of all, I started following lots of people who were embracing their stomachs of all shapes and sizes, celebrating it. And I had to also do a lot of work on how I was relating to my stomach. One of the big things I always say is touch. You know, I spent so long kind of standing in front of the mirror, literally pulling at parts of my body and thinking, if I could only get rid of this, and like tugging at myself and being so rough with my own body, my body that carries me through every single day of my life. Here I am literally trying to pull it to pieces. And I think something that can be a really good starting point for people is to sit with your body, whether you want to do it when you're lying in bed at night or on the sofa in the shower, whatever, and try to touch yourself with kindness. Try to be gentle. Give your stomach a little stroke. Say things to it. Yeah, literally, you don't have to think you're beautiful, but you can still think, wow, the stomach, thanks, hun. Thanks for being here. And the really, really good step to start with. Also, can we just bear in mind that we only hate our stomachs and any other body part because we've been taught to by a culture
Amen.
That profits from our insecurities. And women's stomachs are generally, naturally, they hold more fat there, which is why we've been taught to hate them, because we will spend so much time and energy and money trying to change it because it's naturally going to be a bit squishier. And that is why we've been taught to hate that part especially.
I think you have one of the most delicious stomachs on the internet. I love watching you dance. And when I watch you dance, I just sit there and I'm like, I just really want to like get in there and have a nuzzle. Like, it's gorgeous. It's so beautiful.
Wow, that's a new bio if I've ever heard one.
Honestly, I'm here all night, babes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We've talked about this a little bit already, but our confidence isn't just determined by the size of our bodies. It's actually the social media thing as well, with 75% of women admit that it makes them feel unconfident because of the things that we've mentioned, the comparison. What I loved about what you said there, Megan, is that it can actually be really positive. It can actually really help. Like yeah. you said, if we're following a lot of accounts of how we think we should look and all that airbrushing and all that whatever it is, it can be really useful to see ourselves more, can't it? To use it in that positive way. How do you find those accounts? Like, how would do we... Do you know what I mean? Because if we've been so used to following the celebrities or whoever we've been following, where are those sort of pockets?
They're out there. They are absolutely out there. So basically, if you go on any Instagram account, there's a little arrow on people's profile page. It's right under where it says their follower account, and then it says message. And then next to that, there's a little arrow, which a lot of people don't realize. You click that and it will give you suggested accounts that are similar. So if you went on that on my page and you click that, it would probably be a bunch of body positive people who would be incredible for you to follow. Or, you know, hit up those hashtags. There are some great hashtags. When I came into the community, we called ourselves the Pizza Sisters for Life, and you just hit that hashtag and there was all kinds of different people, and that was incredible. Yeah, and they are absolutely out there. There's so many.
I think something else that's really important to say is everything is going to look different on different days.
Yes.
Isn't it for us? And it is all a journey. And I think there's also that trick that we get to body positivity and then all those insecurities, all of those things that have ever bothered us, they just melt away. They just disappear. And do you still have those moments, Megan? Do you still... I mean, I know you said less and less, but do you still have a bad day, I suppose is what I mean? Or a trickier day?
Yeah, I can do. Whenever I have those days where I can't quite convince myself that my body is incredible, I just like to do things that remind me that I'm more than my body anyway. So I do really embodied things like create, do something artistic, see people who don't give a damn about how I look, go for a walk. Things that have nothing to do with what I look like, those are the grounding things for me. Yeah, because that's it. That's what I want people to know. You're more than this.
That's phenomenal. To forget about it, because the temptation is to fixate, mm-hmm. isn't it, on it.
So talking about your body and what it can do for you and how you kind of separate that moment of body anxiety. For me, I call them wardrobe meltdowns. And it's when you take the clothes out of the wardrobe, you maybe look at the size in the back of the clothes, you start trying things on, things maybe just aren't quite right. And the spiral of doom starts and the self-hatred starts. And I'm guilty of this, even though I talk about it, I'm like, you know, you just need to break the cycle. But do you experience this cycle? Do you have these moments where it goes and you maybe fall into this trap, or is it all plain sailing?
So I generally am always on a level of body neutrality, and I think that is also a great option. It is not realistic to expect everyone to go from hating their body to loving the crap out of themselves every second of every day. It's completely fine to feel neutral, and I think feeling neutral is kind of just looking in the mirror and saying, okay, this is what I'm working with today. I'm going to get on with my day. This is not going to take up all of my energy, whatever. So that is where I'm at most days. And I think that is healthier because I'm not fixating either way. I'm just going about my life. And for me, I think I avoid falling back into the really low negative places out of anger because I spent so long putting my life on hold, not believing that I deserved a full and happy and vibrant life because of my body. I absolutely, can I say,
Can say whatever you like.
I think you should, Megan. I think it's important.
Cool. I abso-fucking-lutely refuse to spend another day of my life not living because of how my body looks. No, not happening. Fucking refuse. And that is how I keep myself from falling back down, tapping into that anger.
I mean, that's huge. Profound. That is. Because we are taught to fix it. My temptation would be, if I'm having a bad body day, I will fixate on it. I will fixate on, how am I going to change it? What am I going to do? Oh my God, you've done this again. You know, that mean voice, that inner critic, really going rampant. The idea of just going, oh, I just won't worry about it today. Today is not the day to get into this and just to step away from it. I mean, that I can't imagine it.
Well, one of your friends, one of Sarah's bridesmaids actually said to me when I was tanning her for your wedding, she said, you know, some days you just have to get dressed and put on clothes that your body wants to wear that day rather than what your mind wants to wear. And I remember being in my kitchen holding this cup of green tea like, what? That's amazing. That's so simple. Just put on what your body wants to wear that day,
yeah.
Not what your mind wants to wear. And it makes that whole process a lot easier. But confidence levels do increase with 60% thanks to our friends and family. I love that. I love that. I need my friends. I need Sarah.
You're a big believer in give a compliment though, aren't you? And 60% of people say they felt good after hearing a positive gesture. I don't know why we're not all telling each other how good we look. Do you know how I mean? And maybe it's because we can't tell ourselves. We don't feel like we can tell somebody else. Maybe.
Often, especially amongst women, there is always that competitive aspect. We're very much raised to believe that we're all in competition with each other, because if there's only one way to be beautiful, we must be fighting for it. We must have to make sure we are the most beautiful. So that's definitely a mindset that it's tricky to get out of. And the idea that, you know, someone else being beautiful doesn't make you less beautiful. There is actually room for us all, because beauty is not a finite resource. It is endless. I value compliments that are about who I am a heck of a lot more than about how I look, because I don't need to be hyper focused on how I look, you know, at any point in the day. And it's a very natural thing, you know, it's an easier thing to compliment how someone looks or what they're wearing or their style. And it's nice, but I think we need to be doing both. And especially in young people, especially in young girls, we need to be complimenting them on who they are, their characteristics, what they bring to the world, how they make you feel. Like, those are my favorite. If someone says to me, your presence has made me feel better about so and so and so and so, I will hold on to that. I will hold on to that forever, way more than you're gorgeous.
And kids do, you know, kids do hang on to those things and they really remember them. There's that amazing sort of phrase, little girls get told they look beautiful, little boys get asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's so important to change that conversation with young girls, because we're all conditioned to do it. We're all conditioned to go, oh, you look so pretty. Oh, do you like your dress, your hair, da, 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 da. And there is a place for it, but my God, there's so much work's got to be done to go, wow, you were really funny. Wow, you really climbed up that really quickly. Do you know what I mean?
Or even just with friends. Like, even when you go to someone's house or you go on a night out, instead of going, oh, I really like your dress, you could be like, oh my God, that joke was so funny. And actually pull them up on something that they've created that isn't anything to do with their appearance.
Yes. And I think we've got to learn as well to take a compliment, because I think, you know, people really struggle with that, especially if we're very British. We don't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? If somebody, like, how many times do you go, oh, I love your top, and they go, oh no, it's really old, no, I wouldn't
Primark, £4.
I wouldn't even put the bins out in it. It was in the sale. Do you know what I mean? And it's really, I think we've got to retrain ourselves to just take the compliment, you know, and just say, I always say, before you say all of that, you can still say it was from Primark, you can still say it was in the sale, but just say thank you.
Thanks, babe.
Thank you. Like, I've seen, because nobody wants to be rejected in that way as well, do they? You know?
You know what's wild is that I spend so much time now around kind of fellow body positive people that our reactions are just wildly different. Like, I will say to my friend, you look smoking today, and she'll be like, I know. I'm like, yes. And we just completely cheer each other
but
on.
We are conditioned to think that that's arrogant, yes, aren't we, that we're not allowed, you're not allowed to agree, don't say you look great,
absolutely,
don't, you know.
And there's that whole trope as well of girls are beautiful because they don't know it, you know. It's in songs, it's in freaking One Direction songs, she's so beautiful but she doesn't know it. No, you should know it.
Yeah, you, amen, should, you know, should it, know it.
You should be telling her One Direction. Telling her, so she says it back to you. But we are, that's a big thing. I would genuinely feel really uncomfortable to go, yeah, thanks, I know. I couldn't do it. And it's so weird, isn't it? Because it's the point about what you said, Megan, that it means that it makes somebody else feel small. Do you know what I mean? I've got to stay small and I've got to stay humble because that's the only way that, you know, that's not going to trigger you, or yeah, that's not going to upset you and how you feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Megan, we always ask every guest who comes on Wobble, what makes you wobble?
I would say the thing that probably makes me wobble the most is when I accidentally step on my dog and I can't explain to her that I didn't mean it. And that's the most heartbreaking thing, because I just wish she would know that I would never try and hurt her. And then literally I cry every time.
I think she will know. I think she will know. Deep down, I think she'll see. She'll be like, Megan's upset. Something's happened. And I shall just lick her.
I hope so. I love her
what
so
What dog
much.
Have you got?
I have two. I have a Cocker Spaniel and I have a Cairn Terrier, and I love when people ask me about them.
What are they called?
They are called Bella and Topsy.
Bella and Topsy. Yes. And it's the yelp, isn't,
yes,
it? You know, when you tread on a dog's tail, and you're right, and they look at you like, what?
Why would you do this to me?
Why would you step on me? I'm just here. And it's, yeah, you can't apologise enough.
I'm gone.
Megan, I feel like that's one of the best answers.
It is the best answer.
What makes you wobble? Treading on my dog and not being able to apologise. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much. If people want to find you, Megan, where should they look?
They should just type in Body Posy Panda to absolutely all of their social media.
Perfect.
You've been an incredible guest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's
so much in that interview, isn't
there? Oh my
gosh.
I've heard it at least 3 times, and every time I hear it, something new jumps out, which I know we say a lot on Wobble, but for some reason, she's just so insightful. She's got so much experience. That's what I love. She's got so much personal experience of not being body confident to getting there. And it's very easy when you see people who are very positive about their bodies and who do really embrace that sort of space, it's very easy to look at them and go, they've always been like that. It's been easy for them. They don't understand what it's really like. And Megan does understand. And that for me is the most amazing thing.
I loved the analogy of turning the ship.
Yes.
That was something that really stood out to me. And even chatting to her, just watching how she realised that, oh, I don't always have to feel like this. And that moment, the click of the goal weight and going,
yes,
but I still don't feel right.
Yeah.
And there's something still not right. I loved taking photos of yourself on your phone. You don't have to keep them on your phone, you just have to delete them, but get used to how you look in pictures.
Yeah.
I think that is the most incredible take home nugget of information that really is staying with me.
Yeah.
I think it's gorgeous.
I really loved what she said about her appearance being the least interesting thing about her. I loved saying that, because I think that for me, for years and years and years, I've always fixated on what's wrong with my body,
yeah,
and how am I going to change it. So to actually step back and go, oh, do you know what, I'm just not going to think about my body, I'm going to think about what I'm doing or who I'm with or endless countless things that don't involve what you look like, to take a step back and be able to do that, I mean, that's completely brand new to me.
And I think there was something really lovely when she said about complimenting somebody, it doesn't have to be about what they look like, which is a natural thing for me to lean to, like, oh my god, love your dress babes, love your hair babes, like that's just something that I would do. But she really points out that a compliment can be about what somebody's achieved, what somebody's done, like something a bit deeper and richer than just an appearance, and that it really rang home with me. I thought it was incredible advice.
Yeah, just amazing. Thank you so much to Megan for coming on Wobble. What an absolute treat to have her. And thank you to the gorgeous people at Boots UK. This was recorded at the Boots Feel Good Sessions. Thank you so much to them for having us. This has been a Wobble Summer Special, and we will see you next time for another Wobble Summer Special.
Hold up. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.